to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show today. It's first part of February here. And, you know, we're starting another whole week of kind of mayhem and stuff. And I got a lot of stuff to talk about. But before we do, I want to respond to a story just now coming over the wire right now. This is on CNN. And it's basically talking about the fact that a lot of our soldiers and sailors are getting electric shocks. Some of them are being electrocuted to death in these bathroom and residential facilities that were set up in Iraq by Kellogg, Brown Root, Halliburton, whichever name you want to go by. And I wanted to respond to it because I work a lot with electricity in my day job. And I know for people who work just in their homes with, like, rewiring a lamp or something, those two lines coming out of the wall socket seem pretty much interchangeable and identical. And the reality is that they are not. One of the two lines is considered hot because that's where the alternating potential is taking place. The other line is a neutral and by itself does absolutely nothing. So when you're wiring a home or a bathroom or whatever, all the switches, all the circuit breakers have to be on that hot line. If the building is wired backward so that the switches and circuit breakers are all on that neutral line, then even when the breakers are off and even when the switches are off, that hot line is still carrying electricity and can get, you know, if it's a really poor wiring job and they're not bothering with a separate ground line, sometimes that hot line gets wired to ground because the neutral axis is a ground, and you wind up electrifying things that ought not to be carrying electricity. And what this basically tells us, and the reason I wanted to start with this story today, it tells us that Kellogg Brown Root and it tells us that Halliburton are hiring people to do this work who are not trained electricians. They just think, okay, hook wire from here to there, and I'm done. And there is a little bit more to it than that, and this is why some 230 of our kids in uniform have been given serious electric shocks in the last approximately 2 years. And it's just another case. I mean, if you know how much taxpayer money is going to Halliburton and Kellogg Brown Root to wire these facilities, and then for them to do such slipshod work that our kids are getting electric shocks, it's just amazing that this kind of stuff continues to go on. All right, well, we're going to go into the regular part of the show. I just wanted to get that out of my way because I've seen a building once, believe it or not, in California that was wired backwards like that. And I had to make a big stink about it to get it fixed. And it was very, very, very dangerous if these things are not done right. Anyway, today, if you'd like to join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Donovan is once again in the control room answering the phone and twiddling the dials. So if you've got something on your mind, pick up the phone, punch those buttons, call on in, and we will talk about it. Turning to the economy, the markets have been tanking pretty much around the globe. The Dow had a real roller coaster day just looking at that chart. It was way up and way down, way up and way down. And it's almost like a matter of how the Dow ends up is where where it catches that ending bell. And today it caught the ending bell about 64 down, which isn't too bad. But on a day this volatile, 64 down, that's within the noise factor. It was up considerably higher. It was down considerably lower. It's well into the 7,000s, and I think it's probably going to hang there. Most of this week, we've got a lot of bad economic news expected to hit this week. It's already starting. Macy's is cutting 7,000 jobs. The joblessness rate in the U.S. has reached at least a 16-year high. And I say at least because so many of the state unemployment offices are running behind on the paperwork. We don't actually know what's going on out there. There could be a lot of claims still coming in, and it could be considerably higher. But at the moment right now, it's at a 16-year high. It's reached the point right now where amusement parks are reporting that they're getting guys with college degrees, MBAs, are coming in to take jobs for the summer season at the amusement park. And I don't mean to belittle amusement parks because it's a lot of fun to work at one. I worked at a couple of them in Southern California when I was in college. I did summers at Magic Mountain and Knott's Berry Farm and the Mouse Place. And it is a lot of fun. It's a very interesting situation, especially if you're an entertainer, which is, just a wild old time and a lot of fun. But if you're trying to raise a family, that's That's not good pay. But that may be all that's out there coming up for the summer. Now, interestingly enough, over the weekend when most of us were distracted with the Super Bowl, the wizards of the economy have finally figured out who is to blame for our current economic downturn, and much to nobody's surprise, they're blaming the American people. Never mind the derivatives, never mind the Bernie Madoffs, never mind the aggressive mortgage, fraudulent mortgage practices that were going on. The ultimate villain in the economy is you, because you are refusing to spend more money. You selfish person, you. You're taking your money and you're putting it in your piggy bank, or you're putting it back in your pocket, or you're putting it under your mattress, but you are just not getting out there and spending it recklessly with wild abandonment is what you should be doing right now. And it's kind of this drastic irony that when we have an economy that is based on debt rather than on worth, when Americans are doing what is really best for themselves, which is saving money and not spending, that is considered now bad for the economy as a whole. And so now the economic powers that be, rather than find fault with their own actions over the last several years, last few decades actually, they're going to blame it all on you. You are not spending enough money. You didn't go out and buy that 60-inch plasma TV screen that you should have for Christmas. That would have made the difference. And as long as you refuse to spend your money and give it to the retailers, well, that just means the terrorists have won. So shame on you. This is all your fault. So say the powers that be. And, of course, it's not your fault. And especially for those of you listening to this show who have lost your job and you're on the verge of losing your business, and your home and your car and everything you are is just dissolving right in front of your eyes. Of course, it's not your fault. You did not create this situation. It was created for you. And you shouldn't be sad. You should be pissed off. We've got a caller waiting on the line. Drew calling from California. Aloha, Drew. I understand you want to talk about Iran, which is a subject I did want to cover in today's show.
Well, how you doing, Mike?
I'm fine.
I wanted to bring up something I haven't heard too much of, just glimmers here and there. The situation with Iran and their nuclear bomb factory they're hiding here, as I recall, isn't that facility staffed by and supported by somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of thousand Russian civilians?
I don't know the exact number, but yes, there are Russian nationals all over that facility. They're building that power station, they're putting in the generators, and they're helping to fuel the reactor core.
And wouldn't an Israeli-provoked preemptive strike on that bomb factory kill a lot of Russians and get them involved in something?
Yes, it would.
Disastrous that Georgia operation went, I would think that would throw some cold water on the situation, but apparently thinking rationally isn't something that our leaders are capable of.
Well, you just hit the problem right on the head there, because, yeah, you would think they would be thinking rationally about it, especially because so far the IAEA, which is in there watching what Iran is doing, they have not seen any indications that Iran is doing anything other than building a power generating station and making the fuel rods for it, both activities they are allowed to do under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. We know from past experience that Israel likes to sort of fib about what other countries are doing with their power stations, because they were making the same claim about Iraq's power station before they went in and bombed that. And following the invasion in 2003, international experts went over and looked at the remains of the Osirik reactor complex, and by golly, it was a power station, and there was no evidence of a clandestine weapons lab underneath there. But you're absolutely right, and this is an issue my lovely wife is always saying. If Israel attacks Iran and bombs that power station, and they kill a bunch of Russians, that is going to bring Russia into the conflict on the side of Iran. Now, as far as Israel's concerned, they don't care, because they're going to scurry on back down to Israel, and for Iran and possibly Russia to counterattack, they got to go right through Iraq, where all those dumb American kids are standing around getting shocked by their showers. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking with Drew in California. We're talking about Iran and the very obvious continuing push to try and start a war in Iran. Now, they're not going to go out and say that Iran actually has nuclear weapons after getting caught with the lie about Iraq. So what they're trying to do is say, well, Iran is thinking about getting nuclear weapons, which is a far more difficult proposition to disprove. And so they're going to say, well, you know, just in case, those are bad people, we ought to go and do it. But it's really silly because, you know, I've got this neighbor. Do I have a right to go and shoot him because I think he might somewhere down the road attack my wife? No, I don't. And if I did, they would go and put me in jail. And it just seems like there are way too many people in positions of power in the world right now who see a war as the answer to their problems. I mean, here in the United States, we're in a terrible economy. We have a history of getting out of bad economies with major wars. Certainly, Israel wants to conquer the region around them and bring it under their control. They're already starting to talk about colonizing Iraq now that the U.S. has smashed the government there. Obviously, you know, it just seems to be going on. And you're right, they're not thinking rationally, because the downside, especially if Russia comes into this thing, we're talking a for real nuclear war. Is Drew not there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Got anything else for us, Drew?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Another point I wanted to bring up, it's just escaped me for the moment. One thing I did want to mention is I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm kind of joking here, but I'd like to start a movement. When we get our chance to rebuild, to cut the fat and start over again here, can we quarantine Washington, D.C., and relocate our seat of government, say, perhaps to the Fort Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary, and just treat them all like criminals from the start?
Yeah, I think it would be a very good idea, but let's not quarantine Washington, D.C., because there's a lot of really cool museums in that town.
Well, of course, we got to clear it out. Apparently, there's something in the air, or perhaps the water supply that
manages. It's the lead pipes. It's the lead pipes. They drink the water. It makes them all crazy and think that they're gods. Drew, we got to let you go. We got another caller waiting on the line. We're going to switch over to Jeff in Texas. Aloha, Jeff. How are you doing? What's on your mind today?
Yeah, it is about two provisions in the bailout bill that pertain to the Internal Revenue Service. It's about the ability that the IRS now has to just permanently snoop on people. I was appalled to find that out a couple of weeks ago. They can basically set up front corporations and open bank accounts with taxpayer money and spy on you ad nauseum. They could, mm-hmm. you know, be insinuated into a company like H&R Block or some other company like that, operating with almost no restrictions. And another provision in the article is actually on the Prison Planet site, is bailout bill loops in green tech, IRS snooping. It also says that the IRS can share your tax return information basically with any law enforcement agency they want. So some scumbag in one of these new fusion centers in your local town could possibly be pulling down, you know, not in the not too near future, your tax return records and using it against you.
Yeah, it does seem that we're headed, you know, I'm starting to call Barack Obama our token president, not because of his skin color, but because everything he promised he was going to do, he has done only in token situations. He said he was going to end torture. He does the token move of closing Guantanamo, but those prisoners are going to other prisons. The rendition flights are continuing. Obama said he was going to end the war, but he's bringing home a token number of troops. He said he was going to cut defense spending. It turned out to be just 10%, a token cut down to the 2007 level of defense spending. The reality is that Barack Obama has already turned out to be a huge disappointment to the country. He's only been in the job for, 2 weeks now? And, you know, it's very obvious that it's just more of what we've had to deal with over the last going on 20 years. And I think probably most Americans are justified in being incredibly angry that after all the faith they put in this guy that we were going to see some changes, you know, that it really is. It's just more of the same.
Yeah, it really is. Well, listen, keep up the great work, and everybody just be real careful who you deal with around tax time.
Oh, absolutely, definitely that. And not just because they're being evil and malevolent, but according to the IRS, the tax codes are so complicated that even the advice you get from the IRS is wrong about one-third of the time. That's how completely out of control the tax system is. If we had a fair and honest tax code, it would fit in a pamphlet. Those volumes and volumes of books of tax codes represent the accumulation of all the special favors that have been given out by Congress to this or that wealthy donor so that they could make a little bit more money and keep a little bit more to themselves. One of the big automakers, I think it's GM. They just got a whole bunch of taxpayer money. Now they're asking for a waiver on the taxes that they're going to make while they work to restructure their company. So it's just greed, greed, greed. We're going to go to Richard in Texas. Aloha, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Dress and Dave Van Cleef announced that on their website they've located all the rest of the relocation centers. FEMA camps, so people want to know more about them and to be able to show their friends who still think that they don't exist, they can go to Joyce and Dave's Power Hour website.
Okay, well, we'll take a look at that. And we know that the U.S. government is preparing for a popular uprising. We're seeing riots and protests all across Europe. They brought down the government of Iceland already. And it's going to happen here. Frankly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened. I mean, I know we had that little bit of riot up in Oakland after the BART shooting. But I really am beginning to think that the U.S. government is putting tranquilizers in our drinking water, because I don't understand why the American people aren't jumping up and down furious and starting to march on Washington, D.C. with pitchforks and torches right now. It's just I don't believe Americans really are that dumb and uninformed about what's going on. They act like they're tranquilized. And we do know that there are trace amounts of medical tranquilizers in the city water of at least 25 major cities. They haven't checked them all, and they haven't looked for every possible drug. They're saying it's just medical pollution and waste, but there do seem to be a lot of anti-anxiety and tranquilizer drugs just coming out of our tap right now. For those of you who can afford to get filtered and distilled water, definitely you want to be looking at that. Anything else, Richard?
I never hear much about the annual financial report, and it seems like that should be an integral part of the financial conversation. And the money stolen by the Pentagon, if it's $5 trillion, I think that would be more a part of the conversation, too.
And, well, we've mentioned it many, many times before. The bottom line is any figures we're getting out of the government are highly suspect to begin with. We know there's huge amounts of money that have been flowing from the people to the government, from the government to their favored cronies. I don't know that we're ever going to find out. I mean, we've got the Federal Reserve already saying it's none of our business who they've loaned all these trillions of dollars in emergency funds to. We're not even allowed to know what kind of collateral, if any, they've accepted. I mean, go back and study the history of the SNL bailout in the 1980s and how crooked that was. This is the same thing, only much, much bigger. Richard, we got to let you go. We're going to take a break here for some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I want to get back to the economy for a little bit before we leap on over to Gaza and Israel and Iran and the very obvious push to keep the war going and expand it over there. Back in September, when that first bailout was being passed, We were treated to a nonstop harangue by the corporate media about how desperate the economy was. We were days away from a complete financial meltdown, that there were going to be runs on the banks, widespread violence, declaration of martial law, so forth and so on, and went through the Congress and this voting back and forth, and finally wound up giving a huge chunk of cash to Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, and basically, you know, very little oversight on the thing. Now, since then, it turns out, this is a story that broke yesterday. We linked it at whatreallyhappened.com. That page got taken down at the remote server end. We found another link and just put it up as well. And basically what this is reporting is that three senior economists working at the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, in October, they examined the Federal Reserve's own data and concluded, in an article entitled Facts and Myths About the Financial Crisis of 2008, that the claims of a credit freeze, that the interbank lending had locked up, commercial lending had locked up, they were not true. They were not true. Bank lending to consumers and to non-financial companies was going along as it always had. Banks were lending to each other at record levels. So what this is a scam. You have all been scammed by the outgoing administration who created this scary monster of an impending economic crash in order to loot the Treasury for billions of, what am I saying, trillion dollars to divide up amongst the various players. And the problem with that is, in looting the public treasury for $1 trillion, and in creating a climate of fear and pessimism in the media, they've actually accelerated the economic decline. They've created a self-fulfilling prophecy. But at the time they were first crying wolf, there was no credit crunch. The money was there. It was being loaned. It was all working smoothly. They stood up in Congress and said, doom in 3 days unless you give us the money. So that's something to keep in mind, especially as you start filling out those tax forms. You have been scammed. And as I said to that last caller, go back and reread the history of the Resolution Trust Corporation and the savings and loan bailout in the 1980s. And it was a scam. It was a ripoff of the American taxpayer. And the money that was looted did not go to save widows and pensioners and orphans, as we were told in the media. Most of it went to numbered brokered accounts. It went to corporate accounts. It went, ultimately, a lot of it went to help launder and grow the Iran-Contra drug running proceeds that was taking place in MENA, Arkansas, around that whole Madison guarantee savings and loan, the whole Whitewater mess, Flowerwood, Casa Grande, the whole Arkansas Development Finance Authority scandal. It was all just a big swindle of the American people. And all this bailout money that they're spending left and right, I mean, look what Bank of America threw a huge party at the Super Bowl with money they got from the U.S. taxpayer. This is a big party, and it's on the tab of your back and your children's back and your grandchildren's back. We're already looking at, well, the estimates are varying because we can't really get firm numbers. But at the very least, your portion of this bill for all this reckless spending over the last 4 months is going to come out to about $17,000, and that's the low end of the estimate. And that's a very low estimate. Personally, I think the numbers are much higher. All right, I want to switch over here because the situation with Israel is getting more and more absurd. You will recall that after basically going and committing all these war crimes, white phosphorus, flaming white phosphorus dropped onto school kids and onto the UN school and onto the UN food distribution center. And after huge condemnation from around the world, Israel finally said, okay, we're going to call a ceasefire. And then almost immediately, there was a roadside bomb, and Israel said, aha, Hamas has broken the ceasefire, and they sent the warplanes and the tanks back in. Then it turned out a group called the Tawhid and Jihad Brigades, claimed responsibility for the roadside bombing. And this group is not allied to Hamas. They're a rival faction, but they're operating inside Israel. They're not even in Gaza. And they set off the bomb, and Israel's response was, go attack Gaza. Well, now Israel's leadership has been talking about, we will have a disproportionate retaliation against Israel, or rather against Gaza for the rockets. Israel's leadership is saying, if the rockets are hitting Israel, we will attack Gaza with everything we've got. Okay, another embarrassment. It turns out that the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade is taking credit for the rockets that are flying into Israel right now. And this Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, again, it is not affiliated with Hamas. It is part of Fatah, which is the U.S.-backed imposed puppet regime in the West Bank. Hamas is the legally elected government of Gaza. Fatah wants to kick Hamas out and take over that territory, even though Hamas won the election. And so they go in, they fire some rockets at Israel, and Israel comes in and starts flattening the place again. And the latest story we're getting right now is over the weekend, there was a database, official Israeli government database leaked, showing the extent of the illegal settlements in the West Bank. Now, the word illegal here is kind of a little bit fuzzy, because under the UN Charter on the manner in which occupied territories are to be treated, all the settlements in the West Bank are illegal under the UN Charter. But Israel makes a designation. There are the legal illegal settlements that Israel says, yes, you can put those here. And then there are the illegal illegal settlements which are being built that Israel is kind of turning a blind eye to. Well, this database got leaked out, and the locations of all these illegal settlements are being plotted. And it is. It's just they're filling up the West Bank with these Jewish-only settlements in complete defiance of UN Resolution 242. This is why the Palestinians are upset, because these settlements are on land that is legally owned by Palestinians. It's like if you spent your whole life buying a home, you've paid off the mortgage, or you're living on the home that your parents paid off the mortgage, you own that land, and all of a sudden the government comes in with a bulldozer, knocks over your home and your trees, and puts up condos with a big wall around it and says, get out of here, you're not allowed around here anymore. Wouldn't you be upset? I would. So that's what's going on for this whole situation. Now, the other situation is that Israel is absolutely forbidding any media to overfly Gaza and take aerial photographs. They are terrified that aerial photos are going to come out, because what those photos are going to show is that Israel was not targeting Hamas rocket launchers. They were targeting farmlands. They were targeting factories. They were targeting critical infrastructure necessary to keep the Gazan people alive and fed and moderately healthy. And so what this has nothing to do with defending against the rockets, which we now know are coming from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade and not from Hamas. And it has everything to do with making Gaza so unlivable and incapable of supporting life that the Palestinians will be forced to move someplace else, which is what Israel has wanted all along. It's like that quote from Tacitus. They created a desolation and they called it peace. And this is what Israel is trying to do in Gaza. Make it impossible for the Gazans to live there by destroying their farms so that they can shove them out and take over that land for themselves. That's what's going on here. It's got nothing to do with rockets. It has to do with stealing other people's homes. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. America, welcome back to the show here, last segment of our show today, and I got to tell you, the media is getting so desperate to have things to report about other than what is going on. At our website, we're being fed all this email about how to save yourself from being kidnapped by space aliens who are going to take you up into their flying saucer and do weird experiments on you, and all the stuff about, chemtrails and Bigfoot and Loch Ness monsters, love child. And this story is just now breaking here. The Boulder police are taking back the JonBenet Ramsey case from the district attorney's office. They're going to reinvestigate it as a cold case. So they're going to wave JonBenet at us one more time as a media distraction. You know, look over here, look at the dead kid, and all the rest of that. Obviously, something is in the works that they don't want us paying any attention to. And I'm reminded, of course, of the spring of 2001, when the U.S. government was already telling other governments around the world that we were going to invade Afghanistan in October of 2001. And they were, you know, was in Jane's Defense, BBC covered it, you know, all over the place. Everybody in the world knew the U.S. was getting ready to go to war in Afghanistan, except the American citizens. What we were getting on our media was all Gary Condit all the time. Where was Chandra Levy? What happened? Were they having an affair? Oh, my goodness, Gary Condit's crossing the street. Will he stay within the crosswalk lines? I don't know. Let's go to our aerial camera and see if it, and it was absurd. And so when I see all of a sudden, and we've seen the last week at History Channel, all UFO shows, they're waving UFOs at us. And now they're going to drag out JonBenet Ramsey again. Something is in the works, people, and they want to make sure you're looking in the wrong direction when it gets ready to pop. And I think, you know, very obviously that it has to do something with Iran, because over the weekend we had this inadvertent admission by the Israeli ambassador to Australia. He was speaking to a group of Jewish leaders in Sydney, Australia, and is going on with his normal braggadocio. And this is the same guy who called Asians the yellow-skinned, slanty-eyed race that he got in trouble for, and he hasn't learned how to shut his mouth up ever since then. So he's talking about how, you know, we've got to confront Iran's nuclear threat, blah, 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 and he makes a reference to something happening within the next month. And then at that point, he says, you got to turn off the cameras. Then a little later, they issue a statement saying, we believe a confrontation with Iran is 12 to 14 months away. Sorry, too late. Sounds like things are really kind of accelerating. And then we have, again, same guy is talking about how the operation in Gaza is a pre-introduction to the attack on Iran. They're just warming up. They're practicing on the Gazans before they go in to Iran. And they're still going on and on about this incredible threat that Iran represents because of their nuclear program. And, of course, nuclear program in this case means they're building a power station. How dare those people turn on electric lights? And, you know, it is so absurd, because we have been through this experience before with Israel lying about Iraq's power station prior to bombing it. We went through this same experience with everybody screaming that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which they didn't, before we went in and smashed up the place. And now we find out that Israelis are moving to Iraq to start building colonies there. And now they're pushing at Iran, and they're having a hard time getting any traction on this one. You know, it's the old fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And we, the people of the world, who do not like the idea of war, we are understandably cautious at all this screaming about Iran's supposed nuclear threat, because we know even if Iran did have a nuclear bomb, which they don't, they're still not a threat to the United States of America, because the United States of America has thousands of nuclear warheads, and we have the delivery systems to put them on the target where they will do the most good. And Iran is not going to fling a single nuclear warhead at the United States and watch their own country evaporate, because world leaders are egomaniacs. They want future generations to admire their statues and their pictures on the postage stamps and on the coins. And so they're not going to be killing their own audience in an act of national suicide. So since they can't whip up this fear of the non-existent bomb that Iran is supposed to maybe kind of sort of be thinking about making somewhere in the future, so Josh Bolton, who used to be the United States envoy to the United Nations, but who was actually there pushing Israel's agenda the whole time, he's now come out saying that Washington, D.C. has suffered a humiliating defeat in its inability to get Iran to shut down its power station. In other words, Josh Bolton is going back to this whole schoolyard thing of, you know, your mother dresses you funny and your dog is ugly and this kind of name calling to try and get us so angry that we're going to go pound on Iran just to prove that we're really butch. And I think it betrays a certain amount of desperation on the part of those people who want to start a war with Iran, that they're resorting to these kind of tactics. Oh, yes, you've already been defeated by Iran. Your only choice now is to go and prove that you really are better than Iran is at killing brown people. And they really want this war. They really want this war. And they don't care how many of your kids have to die in it or how many of your kids spend the rest of their life dealing with the medical consequences not only of the depleted uranium, but the horrible food that Kellogg Brown Root has been serving them while they're there on the front lines. This is all about this idea that if they start World War III, if they can bring on Armageddon, Jesus is going to come down and invite them all up to the big house once it's all over. And they don't care how many other people have to die or be driven into abject poverty. As long as they get to fulfill that holy apocalyptic vision in their mind that the Bible said we should all go and do these really wonderful things. One of the reasons I'm an atheist, I actually did read the Bible when I was a kid. When I was growing up in that little town in New Hampshire, and I went to the Congregationalist Church, and I sang in the choir and got my little pin with all the little year things on dangling down, and they gave me a Bible, and that was their big mistake because I started to read it. And, boy, I was looking at some of that stuff in the Old Testament about how you're supposed to, like, you know, kill the women and children and rip their guts out and decorate your hats with it and all this other kind of bloody stuff that's all throughout there. And I started going back into Sunday school and asking some pointed questions about, you know, this is in here. And they said, no, you shouldn't read that. We'll tell you what you should read. Well, you gave me the Bible. Of course I'm going to read it. There's some really ugly stuff in there. And I don't think it's a really good guide for running a civilization. Certainly not here 2,000-3,000 years after it was written. Maybe it was appropriate for its time. I don't think so right now. Certainly not when the people contending against each other and arguing over whose God has the largest genitalia are armed with nuclear weapons. Because right now, all of us sitting here on the good earth, our futures are currently hostage to whichever world leader is the least mentally stable. And it just seems there are too many people who think war is a really nifty way to get out of their own personal set of problems. Whether it's grabbing more land, getting more votes by proving how butch they are, certainly the economic pressures are pushing the world toward a global war. Because governments are watching what's happening in Europe with all the riots and the protests. And they understand it's one thing if you're in a major war, people will tolerate a great deal of impoverishment and doing without and going without. Because after all, it's a war. And the life of the nation is at stake. It's quite another thing when there is no war and people are still being taxed into impoverishment. They're not going to sit still for that. When they see the money being taken from the mouths of their children and given to people who are so rich, they can't even remember how many homes they own. And right now, the U.S. government knows that the pressure on our society is pushing us to have riots and protests like they're having all across Europe, like happened in Iceland, brought down the government. Could happen here. Inevitably is going to happen here because our government won't do what it's going to take to fix the economy for the benefit of ordinary working class people. They're looting the nation, putting it in their pocket. Somewhere down the road, there's going to be a crisis, unless they can trick us all into a war, at which point they think we'll line up behind the flag and say, yes, take our money, take our children, anything, throw them at the enemies, as long as victory is ours. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Until then, aloha, America.